So in this period of instructions, I'd like to speak a little bit about kind of naming some aspects of practice that some of you may be familiar with, some of you may not be. And they are in service of developing our capacity to see more clearly and also to deepen into our practice as well. So far we've been speaking about ways to come back to the present moment or reconnect with the present moment primarily through the body, whether that is more forefronting the breath or a more general body awareness. Or you may have, you know, a specific anchor in the body that you've been working with, such as the feet or the hands or contact with the ground. So I hope that you've been finding your own way with this developing an anchor or developing ways to connect with the present moment through body awareness. And we've been speaking about how that is a very helpful, practical and powerful way to encourage some release from the automatic pulls of our minds, or our mind hearts. And we've been speaking about the automatic patterns that we develop through our lives that can really keep us from living more vividly and restrict our capacity to live more fully from the freer, wiser, kinder aspects of our heart and mind that are here, but often get covered or we get distracted or pulled away from them. You've probably been finding, I'm guessing, that it's not easy to stay, to come back to our present moment experience in the heart, mind, body. And we've been focusing in the instruction so far on how to find a comfortable place within the heart, mind, body to come back to, which is really helpful. It's like the mind perhaps finds it harder to come back if there's not somewhere at least a little bit comfortable to come back to. So I'm hoping that you've been finding helpful anchors, as I've been saying. So that's one stream of practice, and we can really kind of keep going with anchors, with coming back, with that simplicity, and over time that can deepen and deepen and really cultivate a lot of well-being and resource in our system. So there's tremendous value I've found in that practice. And yet, as I expect you've been finding, that we get pulled away a lot. And to the degree we get pulled and in the directions we get pulled will be different for us at different times. But it's very likely to be happening, obviously, or at more subtle levels. And sometimes those things that are pulling us away from our anchors or that possibility of deeper peace are really powerful things, intense pain in the body or emotional challenges, reactions, powerful thoughts. So I'd like to speak a bit today about how to work more directly with the aspects of our experience that are stirring us, that we're starting to see perhaps a little bit more clearly as we're developing the capacity to keep coming back to the present moment, you might start to be seeing a bit more what's pulling you away. Maybe patterns you're very used to, maybe things you haven't seen so much before that you're seeing anew or in a different way. There's a metaphor that I find really speaks to me about the complexities that my heart, mind, body get caught in. And that is a metaphor of a knot. So I don't know how many of you here have worked with string or wool or thread, if you've sewn or knitted or tried to do any of those things. But what can happen is you're sort of working away, it's going well, and then somehow, even though you know that thread was straight at one point in time, it somehow looped around itself naturally, and it's a knot has developed. You know, how did that get here? And it's, you know, stopping your flow of sewing or knitting. Trying to explain this, I've done it a little bit. I'm not a great sewer or knitter, but I've had a lot of experience with knots. And it's like, well, what do I do about this knot? And I think it's probably quite normal, this automatic impulse, I'll just pull it and it will release because somehow it's tied itself up. Maybe it's, there's not a cut end here, so maybe it's just looped itself and I'll just pull the loop free. Sometimes that works, often it doesn't, and I pull and it gets tighter. It's like, oh no, this knot's worse. What do I do now? It's tempting, even though the first pull has made it worse, to keep going. I don't know if you tried that, and Piano spoke a bit about this kind of impulse to keep doing that which actually isn't helping, but we still do it anyway. And I have done that, tight, oh no. I'm committed now to pulling, maybe I should just keep going because I don't think I can undo it in any other way. And of course, sometimes the thread will break if I keep pulling. So generally what I found helps, and this is why the metaphor I find is helpful with practice, is before I pull too much, or even once I've started pulling, I stop, breathe, and think, okay, let's really look at this knot. What's actually happening here? And getting the two ends and pushing it together a bit, sort of going more into the knot, can sometimes help loosen the threads a bit, get a little bit more space. So I start to see, oh, okay, this is looping under here and that's going around here, and maybe if I tease this little bit here or give it a bit more space, I see how I can undo the knot. And sometimes it even undoes itself when it has enough space to unloop itself. So why I'm saying this is that I find it a very similar process, actually, when I notice myself caught in something, in a thought or an emotion or a reaction to an experience I'm having in my body, or perhaps an irritating sound that's really caught my mind. It's getting a bit sticky and caught up with that experience. Just like the knot, if I turn towards it and start to look at it with curiosity, kindness, patience, a lot of the energy that's keeping that little tangle or big tangle going starts to reduce, and it can either start to diminish or become easier to be with, or actually I start to see a bit more clearly what is happening and what might be needed. There's a core principle in Buddhist psychology which is a bit akin to trying to pull a knot free by just pulling. And that is that a lot of the tangles and compulsive experiences that we have that preoccupy our minds and hearts in an automatic way are fed by a not wanting or a clinging. And adding more aversion, more not wanting, and more pushing away tends to tighten the experience and build it, in fact. And turning towards an experience with curiosity is doing the reverse. It's not feeding that impulse to change it, make it different. Already it starts to reduce the energy in the system. And kindness also does the opposite to not wanting. And that interest and kindness can be very close together in moving towards an experience, softening, opening, allowing more space. So when you're working with returning to the present moment, deepening with the present moment, and you notice that you're not able to do that because something's pulling you in a different direction, well, there's a sense of something really obscuring your ability to connect with your breath and your body. It can be useful to turn the attention a little bit towards what is it that's pulling you away, that's obscuring the attention, bringing curiosity and kindness to that experience. And there's a particular framework I find very helpful that has been developed by a teacher, Tara Brach, building on someone else's work whose name I've forgotten, which is a structure for doing this, which I find particularly helpful when there's a more intense challenge. And this is with the letters R-A-I-N, or RAIN. So the first step of turning towards with curiosity and kindness is the R of RAIN, which stands for recognize. The first step is recognizing that something is affecting you, pulling on you, which is very powerful. You know, we've spoken about being lost in stories of past or future or fantasies, and how different it is to notice and see that that's happening. Already we're not lost when we do that. So the power of recognition, and even the power of naming. So when we're lost in a thought, and we realize that, actually noticing to ourselves, oh, that was a thought, even using the label thought, might be that it's a particular kind of thought pattern we're really used to, like planning thoughts, or irritable thoughts, not wanting thoughts, or if only thoughts, if only this was different, if only I was there instead of here. That's perhaps showing up a bit of a desire, a bit of a kind of clinging, you could say. That's quite a strong word, clinging, but sometimes it can be subtle. It's just, oh, I just wish I was in bed or on holiday. Showing that movement of mind. And there undoubtedly will be patterns that you're probably familiar with, that you know from your lives, and we can use words to get a little bit of distance from them. In one of the small groups, someone talked about their toddler mind, which was a really vivid image for me. It's like, yes, there's a lot in that, the kind of voice and thoughts that, you know, have quite a lot of energy to them, wanting attention, maybe upset, maybe delighted, know nothing wrong, but can be quite hard to be with sometimes, as well as delightful. Oh, that's the toddler mind. Or the inner critic mind, that's really helpful to recognise, the kind of thoughts that will be undermining you, criticising you. It's like, ah, oh, that's you. Hello, inner critic. It creates some distance and some space from those thoughts driving us automatically. So that's naming thoughts, recognising thoughts. It might be other things we might recognise. For example, oh, there's a sensation in my body, or there's a feeling, or actually it's an external sensation, like a sound that's just caught my mind. It's just, oh, that's what's happening, naming that. Or a more general heart-mind state, such as restlessness, or dullness, a sort of total feeling of all just not being comfortable, not wanting, what we might call aversion. So knowing that these are normal, that these will come and go, seeing them more clearly and using a little name or to help us recognize them can be helpful in this disentangling process. So that's the R of rain, and the next letter is A, which stands for allow. Tara Brach has a useful question that we can ask to help with this instruction of allowing, which is, can I be with this? So this is undermining that movement of perhaps automatic pushing away or holding on into a spacious, can I allow this to be as it is and unfold? Giving space to that knot of the heart mind. And I like it as a question, can I be with this? Because the answer might be yes. Ah, yes, I can be with this. And that might encourage some ease into the system. Allow some kindness into the system. But the answer also might be no. I can't be with this. This is too difficult right now. Okay. Or it's very difficult to be with this. I'm not sure. So it's a real encouragement, if that is the case, not to judge ourselves for that, but to recognize that sometimes that is a natural and a normal response. And can we allow that too? So it's like, can we widen the allowing to allow the not wanting? Oh, this is hard. Yeah. I'm going to allow myself to have that experience that this is not easy. As we allow, it can help us see more clearly what's happening if needed. So sometimes just naming, allowing, oh, I'm back with my breath, I can come back to my body quite easily. But sometimes that's not the case. And spending a little bit more time with something can help us see a little more clearly. If there's a powerful emotional or thought state, it can be really helpful to explore it in the body. So how might this be showing up in my body as heat or as contraction, for example? So it's coming back to the recognizing, but going a little bit deeper with that recognizing. As I do that, maybe I realize there's a particular emotion that's underlying this, like anger, for example. Ah, and then the last stage of so what I'm talking about is I investigate. And the last stage of rain is N, nurture, or nourish. So this is, can I be with this, what I'm now noticing, with kindness? Really encouraging kindness specifically and explicitly. Does this need anything? Perhaps opening my chest, maybe a deeper breath, Or maybe some kind words that I could say to myself. Like, yes, this is hard. I can offer myself some compassion. Maybe some encouraging words. Yes, I can't. You can be with this just a little bit longer. Or sometimes we need a break, actually, or we need to move, change posture more fully, or see to some physical need. And the same if there is an experience of more difficult physical sensation. So if when we're allowing in the A of rain, we say, oh yeah, this is hard and there's pain here. This is really uncomfortable. How can I be with that? That's very not easy. So sometimes it can be helpful to turn towards what we think of pain and maybe get a bit beneath that label of pain. Like, what is happening here? What are the sensations? Maybe there's tingling, maybe there's heat, maybe there's contraction. You might start to unpack it, and using that metaphor of the knot, what seemed just like a fierce knot, we start to see there's quite a lot of different elements to this knot, different threads, different patterns. And recognizing at that level starts to introduce more space into the experience. And sometimes that can help with a physical pain. Getting underneath that label, we start to see more the complexity of what's happening and maybe a little bit of spaciousness or ease even within that experience that helps us allow it at a deeper level. And coming to the end of rain, the nurture, the nourish, when it's with the discomfort or a difficult physical experience in the body, how can I be with this with kindness? So that might be, again, a real opening, as Yanai said last night, of the attention, like really opening to more space, including parts of the body that feel comfortable, that aren't difficult. That also can be part of my field of awareness, maybe even to the space of the room. Maybe really inviting a softening, a compassionate response. This isn't easy. This is a sign of being human, the experience of pain. There are many humans in this world who experience pain like me. I feel part of humanity as I acknowledge this. Kind words, wishing well, and sometimes moving or seeing specific physical needs that need to be addressed at some point. So I have a pain in my knee that comes quite often, and I now realize that there are some postures that are going to be difficult, and sometimes I feel I'm settled enough within my system to be able to be with that experience, and at other times I'm not, and actually it's more helpful and kinder and supportive of my practice to sit in a chair, which is why I do that quite a lot. So these are the sorts of choices we can make to allow ourselves to be with our experience with kindness. So just to recap, I've been talking about really valuing the anchors that we're developing, the places that support us to stay present within our body-mind experience, the breath, the ground, or another anchor that you are developing. And then at times we're being pulled away from those places of presence, using something like rain, recognize, allow, investigate, and nurture or nourish, can help us turn towards that which is disturbing us in some way and see a little bit more clearly what's happening and increase our capacity to allow it to be with it, reducing the energy of not wanting and of clinging, which helps us develop our steadiness, our understanding, and our ability to reconnect with our anchors. So I'd like to offer a little bit of guidance, and then we'll go into silence for the rest of the period. So you may want to move or stretch a little bit before settling into your posture for the next 25 minutes or so. Oh, no, not 20, 15 minutes, that's it. So when you're ready, finding or choosing a posture that would be supportive for you for this next little period. Spending a few moments reconnecting with the places that you have been developing as anchors, as places to come back to. Whether the breath, or the body more broadly, or another anchor. And as we settle into our and open to our present moment experience, we could practice this rain way of practice by recognizing what else is here in my system right now. So it may be that there are effects of my words that you're noticing in thoughts or feelings. Maybe showing up in your body in some kind of way. How is your body right now? Are there any particular sensations that are presenting themselves to your consciousness? Maybe using a light label of thinking or naming any particular feeling or sensation that you're noticing. And then moving to the A of rain, allowing. Can I be with this? Can I allow this to be here without needing to change? If I notice that I can't or I don't want to be with this, can I allow that too? What's the effect of practicing allowing? Noticing what's here now in this moment. The eye of rain. Investigate what's happening now. And the end, the nourish. Can I be with this with kindness? Is there anything this experience needs or would be helpful? Giving space for a kind and wise response to emerge. So we'll continue in silence. You may find that it's helpful to continue to practice with rain, or you may find that I can come back now to my anchor, to my breath, my body.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.